Hello, and welcome to What's the Big Idea? I'm your host, Michelle Tuck Ponder. Today's episode is brought to you by Destination Imagination, commonly referred to as DI, the leading creative problem-solving experience for children. Through DI's innovative project-based educational experiences, participants gain the skills that will set them up for success in careers like the one we're going to hear about today. Learn more about DI at destinationimagination.org. On today's episode, we are pleased to welcome Mark Eugene Garcia. Mark is a Mexican-Honduran playwright and proud member of the Dramatists Guild. He gained recognition for his performance in the original cast of Encore on ABC and holds a degree from the City College of New York. He has received multiple playwriting awards, including the 2021 Jerry Harrington Award and the 2018 Unfringed Festival Best of Festival Award. Mark has written notable productions such as Eight Tales of Pedro, Stand By, The Holy Cows of Credence, South Dakota, Facing East, a new musical, Unmissed Connections, and Shining in Misery, a king-sized parody. Joining us today from New York City, please welcome Mark Eugene Garcia. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so glad that you're here to join us on What's the Big Idea.
I'm so excited.
We always start these shows by asking you to give us a 1-minute description of your job and tell us what you do.
Wow. Okay. I am a playwright and a musical theater lyricist and librettist. Basically, my job is words. I'm finding the right words for the right person at the right time and telling stories. If I'm the right person to tell that story, I try to tell it.
So, Mark, tell me something, because I've always found it really fascinating as to how you even come up with an idea and how you write a play. Do you start with characters or do you start with a story?
I tend to start with a story. I find when something jumps out at me often, it'll be like, oh, that right there. Now, how is this relevant? How is this human? Can someone relate to this? And that's how I start to find the characters that would be affected by that idea most. Sometimes it's something that's terrifying. And so I find somebody who is not brave or is not known for bravery, because that would be the most dramatic story, is watching them mm-hmm. overcome some internal fear to also conquer an external fear.
Where do you get your inspiration?
That's interesting. I like to say everywhere, but I've been told that I like to tell stories about faith. I didn't know that until somebody pointed out that like 3 or 4 of my shows 1 year were all about that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's finding a story that isn't being told or that is often being ignored and finding that way into it. Mm-hmm. One of my shows was recently about immigration, and that's a story that's, or a topic that's near to me. And there was that journey of, can I tell this story and how shall I tell this story?
So you have a unique voice because you have a unique perspective. And I'm going to guess that there's not a lot of people with your background who are writing plays. How does that play into what you write and how your character development?
I think how it plays into it is that my ultimate goal is always to showcase people. And I think that's how we relate. I think often we get hung up on our descriptions or how we're looked at. And we kind of forget to look at the person as the person themselves. And that's really what I like to write. I like to find those stories where we get to really know somebody and then put that person through some stuff to really see how they react to it and who they are.
That is very cool. So as you may or may not know, in DI, we talk a lot about communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity. So which of those four skills would you say you use the most in your work? And would you elaborate on how?
Absolutely. It's 100% collaboration. Specifically with one of my last shows where so much was done in the room. I came in with a script and everything was set in stone, but I specifically cast actors who I knew were teachers and clowns and musical theater performers and storytellers specifically, because it's a very storytelling show. It's about oral histories of Latino folk tales. And we really got to play, and it changed the show. I love that, because I love when the script that goes into a rehearsal is not the script that comes out once the show has opened. And so that gave us that opportunity. And I learned that a while ago with another show where an actor came up with a lot of questions and they were nervous. And I told them, I said, you know, at this point in the game, you know your character better than I do. I'm keeping track of a story. I'm keeping track of six people. But the true like depth of your character, you've created and you've filled in the blanks and you have made this person real. So any of those questions I prefer to answer together, as opposed to let me make that decision for you. Theater is that even after the show is opened, I think theater is still a collaboration. The actors are still performing it in the moment. It'll always be that. And that's something I really, really love about theater.
Wow. You know, in our program, our challenge program, our students have to provide a artistic representation that helps to move a story along. And I'm really excited about you talking about, because you're talking a little bit about, there's some improv there. You're not saying, this is my script and I bled over every word, so I want every word exactly the way I wrote it. You're kind of saying, you know, we can grow with this character and find out that they might have said something else under these circumstances.
Yeah, I love it. I know what it's like. I used to act, and I know what it's like to get up on stage and say something that doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And I never want actors to feel that way. I want this person that they're going to get up there and portray to be something we both are happy with. And mm-hmm. I've been very, very lucky with that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you wear a lot of hats. When you were talking about what you do, you not only are you a playwright and a director, you write lyrics. And can you talk about some of the other things you do and how you balance your writing career with that?
Yeah. Well, I also have a day job. So there's also that. And I've been very, very lucky that I've worked at places where, whether it's like Disneyland or FAO Schwartz or places, I always find places that have some kind of magic or showmanship to them. And I continue that trend. I'm one of the managers at the Drama Bookshop in New York City. Mm-hmm. And I don't get that burnout that I used to get at other jobs, because I'm still in the theater industry, even when I'm not currently writing, because I'm either helping somebody find the perfect monologue or helping somebody figure out a casting choice or a storytelling idea or find the show that's going to change their life. And it keeps me fresh. It keeps me mm-hmm. in that world of theater, and also helps me solve my own storytelling problems. Because if I hit a wall, I know that someone on those shelves has figured it out. Whether I find their solution or not, I know it can be done. And so spending days inside somewhere that is so so theatrical just mm-hmm. really, really helps inspire me. And then I don't feel bad when I'm writing on my breaks or writing at home, because I still have that world of theater at all times.
That is awesome. What advice would you give to a young person who is interested in becoming a writer or playwright, or an old person who's interested in becoming a writer or playwright?
I would say the same thing I tell my dad. Start writing. Start writing right now. He always talks about writing. And whenever I talk to him or anyone else about wanting to be a playwright or just a writer in general, is just write. What's wonderful about this is that as soon as you write something, you become that thing. You don't have to get published. You don't have to get performed. I mean, it's great if you do, but once you have something that you have written it, and you are therefore a writer. And it can be anything. It can be a full length show. It could be a 90-minute show. It could be a 1-minute show. They have 1-minute festivals out there as well. Just as long as you're writing. And then you never know it. There's a story I wrote, or a play that I wrote 20 years ago, that I, revised, and that is my next show getting published. And it's something I never thought would see the light of day again. But because I wrote it all that time ago, it's there. So I would just say, write, just keep writing. It'll make you better. It'll get you into a habit. Just write every day.
Did you always want to be a writer?
Yeah. I wanted to be an actor at one point too. And I still, you know, for fun, will, but I would go home every night at school and just write. I didn't know I was writing video game fan fiction. I just thought I was writing a story based off a story I liked, but I would write. And I, between like 14 and 17, I wrote a full 350 page story, single space even. And, my friends at school read it every Tuesday. A new chapter came out, and it taught me deadlines. It taught me passion. It taught me how to tell a story, how to leave people on a cliffhanger. That's what I did through high school and college, was just write. And it just continued everywhere I went until I got into this medium of theater.
What's your favorite thing that you've written?
It depends on the day. It really does. I would say Eight Tales of Feodoro, because that show has been such an emotional journey for me. But each one of my shows is a baby. And when I see them, they become my favorite again.
Do you ever go back and look at what you've written and said, maybe I would have taken this character in a different direction, or maybe I would have taken this story or this sequence or whatever has happened in a different way?
Oh, yes. One of my shows now, I revised during the lockdown, during the pandemic. And it was a show, as I said, from years and years ago. And I was 20 years old, and Avenue Q had just come out, and I was with my college friends, and we were as sophomoric as could be. And we wrote this vulgar show, but I'd always loved the concept and I always loved the story. And so during that time, I kind of thought, what if I were to write this story now? And how would I deal with these concepts in a time where every one of the things about it is an issue we talk about today? And so it helped me grow as a person and a writer, but also helped me look back and be like, Mark, what were you doing? No one will ever see that draft, except for the people in the theater who saw it with their jaws on the floor.
So we've got people on. I know people are saying, right, but how? Do you have a process?
Yeah, I do. I loved my first draft. I like to do alone. Especially if I'm writing something collaborative, I like to write by myself in the beginning, only because I can't sit down to write for a long time. I start to get like antsy. And if it's theatrical, I often will get up and like act it out in the living room and play all the parts. And that allows me to have arguments with myself and get very dramatic and come up with some really good lines, because it's not just typing. It's like, oh yeah, well, blah. And I like that. I think that the more you get into it, the better you are. I'll be crying. I'll be laughing. Like the full range of emotions happen during that draft. And I often will put everything down, like every possible thing, because my true favorite part is cutting. I love to cut things out of the story and make it better. I love to look at something and be like, eh, not needed. And it's even better if I skip from here to here. Like, I love that. And oh, so wow. I would say just put it all out there and then get mean.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to edit yourself.
No. But save it. Save everything. Like, take it out of your script, but save it in a file. You never know. That character may be in another story. You may need that perspective somewhere else. I've pulled characters from one play to another because I wanted to write someone like it. And I thought, why not just use him? He's not being used. Have him go over there. And suddenly it's a whole new thing.
So your characters live. Mm-hmm. They're somewhere out in the universe, but they're alive. You've kind of created them. They just may not be in this story.
Yeah, exactly.
right. Yeah. All right. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for letting us peek into your process and hear more about, you know, what the process is for writing, because there are so many of us who aspire to write and never pick up a pen or sit down at a computer and do that. So it's really exciting to hear from somebody who's actually made a life of this. Our next section, however, of What's the Big Idea is called Rapid Fire. And so we ask our guests to provide gut reaction, one word answer to the following questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What's your favorite food?
Mexican food, specifically tacos.
What is your wallpaper image on your cell phone?
It's Legend of Zelda. My husband drew a picture of a video game character I love, and so that's been on my phone.
Cool. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A teacher.
Oh, cool. If you started your own talk show, who would be your first guest? Anybody in the world?
Oh,
alive God. Or dead?
That's tough. Laura Linney.
Oh, cool. Okay.
She's my favorite actress in the world.
And I know it's rapid fire, but she's your favorite actress.
She's my favorite actress in the whole world. Just love her. I saw a movie with her when I was young and followed that career. And that career led me to other movies like Tales of the City, which would change my life. And so there's a trajectory that was started by seeing the movie Congo that she was in.
Okay. Would you rather have the power of invisibility or the power of flight?
Flight.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you could only have one script in your library, which one would you choose?
My favorite musical, A Man of No Importance.
Okay. Well, thank you for participating in our hot seat questions. And I've got one last question for you. One is, what big ideas excite you now?
I'm really at this moment into, this is so weird. I'm really into cryptozoology. So I feel like my next show is going to involve the Mothman or the Chupacabra. Some kind of mythical beast. I haven't had that supernatural show in me yet. I try not to do the same show more than once. And I haven't done something that's supernatural. And I've always loved those out of this world ideas. And so I kind of think that might be where I'm going.
Cool. Is there anything else?
Completely out of left field. I'm thinking,
how would you stage that? But I mean, I don't get ahead of the story.
It's the story. There's got to be a reason. With everything, there's got to be a reason for the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you would like us to know about you or what we've talked about before we wrap up?
Yeah, my show, Eight Tales of Phaedro, is running at Queen's Theater through April and May. Super excited. The show is a baby of mine. It's a show I sat on for about 10 years. It's about Latino folk tales. I didn't know why I wanted to tell that story until I was at my old job and somebody, while I was trying to help them, asked if I was a citizen. And it hit me that that was why I wanted to tell the story, that I often felt the reason I wasn't before was a sense of imposter syndrome. Am I Latino enough to tell this story? I'm not always Latino enough for my friends and my family. And I'm not always for them, but I was for that guy. So it kind of opened up that door that we got to write about being proud of who we are and really emphasize what it is like to be caught in those two worlds. And so the play is about the folk tales, but also about the people telling the tales to each other and the situation that they're in. And it's been a wonderful experience. It helped me over that imposter syndrome. It helped me into a Spanish class that I really like. It ran at the Secret Theater a few years ago and won their award and was part of their season and has now moved on to another theater. So we're hoping to continue taking over the world with it.
That sounds fantastic. I think I'll have to get over to Queens and take a look.
Definitely. Check it out at queenstheater.org. The tickets are available.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we would Thank you so much for being here with us. We'd like to acknowledge that this episode of What's the Big Idea was recorded on land originally inhabited and cultivated by the Lenape, Lenni Lenape, Miami, and Shawnee nations. We are grateful for this land and for the people who have stewarded it for generations. This episode was produced by Kelsey Selleck, with additional material provided by Renee Rainville and music by Kevin McLeod. Special thanks to our guest, Mark Eugene Garcia, for joining us today. You can learn more about Mark by following Storyteller MG on Instagram and Twitter, or visiting markeugenegarcia.com. To learn more about our show and about DI, visit us at destinationimagination.org. If you'd like to inspire even more big ideas for young people around the world, please consider making a charitable contribution to DI at destinationimagination.org/donate. I'm Michelle Tuck-Ponder. Thanks for listening to What's the Big Idea?
Join us in giving the gift of creativity. For decades, Destination Imagination has been helping kids from all walks of life find what makes them unique. But we can't fulfill that mission without supporters like you. A donation to Destination Imagination will help us deliver quality educational experiences that foster creativity and interest in STEAM fields. Help us ignite the spirit of collaboration with events that span six continents. Help us empower the leaders and innovators of tomorrow. Donate to Destination Imagination today. Learn more at destinationimagination.org/donate.
Destination Imagination taught me how to work as a member of a team.
Destination Imagination taught me leadership skills.
Destination Imagination taught me that there are infinite ways for me to express my creativity.
If you're ready to awaken creativity and ignite a love of learning for your child, join Destination Imagination today. Hi, I'm Johnny Wells, Director of Education at Destination Imagination. DI provides unique educational experiences that give students the opportunity to create projects, solve problems, learn new concepts, and have a great time in the process. Just listen to what some of our alumni have to say.
I use what I learned in DI to solve problems at work, at home, and in every aspect of my life.
I use what I learned in DI to give me confidence when I try something new.
I use what I learned in DI to make a positive impact within my community.
Today's DI participants are tomorrow's innovators, problem solvers, and leaders. If that sounds like a good fit for you and the young people in your life, we'd love to have you join us. To get started today, visit destinationimagination.org.